Welcome to How to Talk to Kids About Anything with Dr. Robin Silverman, a podcast loaded with practical tips, powerful scripts, personal stories, and simple steps to make even the toughest conversations easier. So get ready to get the information you need to make the impact you want from someone you trust, your friend, parenting expert, Dr. Robin Silverman.
There are so many things that we need to teach kids in this ever-changing world. As you know from this podcast and from reading my book, How to Talk to Kids About Anything, new topics pop up all the time as the years go on and new technologies are developed and new issues become exposed. One thing that remains consistent is our need to talk. And one topic that's always interesting is how to talk to kids about money. I devote my entire last chapter of How to Talk to Kids About Anything to the topic, and boy, did I have to learn a great deal from the financial experts while writing that one about saving, about spending, about long-term goals, about medium-term goals, about investing in crypto in order to translate how to talk to kids about this big topic. Well, today we are going back to the basics of this financial subject with our guest, Julia Cook. A former teacher and school counselor, Julia Cook is an award-winning author of nearly 100 children's books. Julia writes books for children that let them laugh while learning to solve their own problems, use better behavior, and develop healthy relationships. Julia and her books have been featured on CNN, Parents Magazine, The New Yorker, The Chicago Tribune, and more. And she does hundreds of school presentations a year. She lives in Nebraska, and she has a new book out with co-author Garrett Gunderson, whose book for adults, Money Unmasked, happens to be on my husband's bedside table, which we discovered the other day while I was reading this fabulous book, I Am Money, which it just was interesting. I'm reading a book about money, and it's actually from one of the same authors as the one that my husband was reading, who is an entrepreneur. So I thought that was just hilarious. This is the new book. It's called I Am Money. It's a children's book on talking to kids about money. And we're going to be talking to one of the authors that we're going to be talking to, Julia Cook. So I would like to give a nice welcome to Julia Cook to How to Talk to Kids About Anything.
Thank you very much, Dr. Robin. I'm so excited to be here today. What a fun, fun podcast. I will make sure I tell Garrett about that. That will be...
Yes, that was hilarious. I was like, so I saw the book on his bedside table and I said, Garrett Gunderson, why is that... I don't know why that name is ringing in my ear. Like there's some reason why that's ringing in my ear. And then I realized I got out your book and I was like, oh, that's the co-author of the book I'm reading. So I brought it up. He's like, my husband's like, yeah, it's a great book. Anyway, so I just thought that was hilarious.
That was a really freaky thing. I was on an airplane. Well, I was in an airport and I overheard him speaking to his book agent. So ironically, we sat next to each other. And he said, and I said, so you're an author? And he said, yeah. I said, I kind of overheard you speaking. And he said, well, I said, what do you write? And he says, I write money books. My name's Garrett Gunderson. And I recognized the name right away, Killing Sacred Cows, and Living Like the Rockefellers. And I was like, whoa. And I said, well, I write books too, but just for kids. He says, I've always wanted to write a kid's book, but I don't speak kid. And I said, well, I've always wanted to write a money book, but I don't speak money. By the end of that flight, we decided to take his genius and my kid words, and this is what happened. It's a fun story.
That is awesome. That's such a good story, too. Before we jump into the crux of the interview, can you tell me what lights you up and what got you so interested in writing this book on this topic?
Well, you know, parents don't like to talk to kids sometimes about money because maybe they haven't had the best track record themselves. But the whole point is if we can give kids great financial literacy advice and they can be smart with money, can you imagine when they are adults, the effects of their mental health? There'll be less depression, there'll be less anxieties, and there will be more opportunity to give to others, which is the biggest portion of this book is you take care of yourself first and you also take care of others. And I interviewed several millionaires before I helped write this book. And they all told me the same thing. You know, once you buy yourself a nice house and nice clothes and a nice car and you do fun things, the only thing money really does to make you feel good about it is when you use it for the greater good to help others in genuine way. So that was the crux. But it's just, it's a topic that schools don't have time to cover. Some have financial literacy requirements now. And but yet they don't have the material. So it was just like, oh my gosh, let's make a fun kid book on money.
Yes, I love that idea. And your book starts off with the statement that we often hear that money doesn't grow on trees. So why would you say this concept is so important that you needed to put it up front?
Well, that's kind of a catch-all phrase. I'm money and I don't grow on trees, because that pulls people in. And you know, I always start out talking to kids and I have a big wad of pretend money that looks real. It's prop money. And I said, you know, think about it for a minute. You know, you go outside in the morning and you pull all the money off your money tree and you have a big old wad. And then your mama says, you say, I want to go buy Lego set because look, I have the money now. And your mom says, okay, but we have to go get your haircut first. You go to the haircut place and the haircut lady sitting in her chair counting the money she pulled off her tree. And she says, I'm not in the mood to cut hair today because now that money grows on trees, I can just go pull off what I want. And so then, you know, we talk this out and you go to the store and the store's closed because no one will work. Kids really don't have a concept. And it used to be that you pull the money out of your pocket and pay for something. And it was a token economy, this for that, you know. Now, how do kids get it? I just get online and I push a button. It comes to my door, or my phone pays for it. I once was in a store. Mommy, I want this. Well, we can't afford it right now. Just pay with it with your phone. And so they don't have a real grasp on the fact that what goes in comes out and where it needs to go. And so I look at the mental health of kids in the long run. That is my big focus. And I want to make sure that we equip kids with the tools they need to solve problems. Because if we solve their problems for them, they might live with us when they're 30. But if we can give them problem-solving tools to solve themselves, they'll survive and they'll win in the world.
Yeah. And you tell us that there are four things that all kids should know about money, which is how to earn it and how to save it, how to spend it, and how to give it. So let's start with the whole idea of earning, because this can be surprising to kids, to young kids. They often think of the people who are earning money as adults. So how can we help kids explore different ways to earn money, even when they're young?
Well, Garrett always says that, you know, money chases value. So if you can figure out what other people need, then you can earn as much money as you want or need. And so the kids don't believe that, they don't see this, but then I always tell them about this 10-year-old that I know that earned $5,000 last summer selling electrolyte popsicles at baseball games. He took Gatorade and Powerade and froze it into popsicle molds and sold them for a dollar. And then I have a young man who's 10 years old, and once a month he poop scoops my yard for $20. I don't want to poop scoop my yard, but I'll pay him $20 to do it. He has 20 yards. And then he takes that $400 and he's earned it because he provides a service that somebody else will value. And then he takes the poop and he takes it to the gardening center and they pay him for the poop. And so once kids start to realize, and then I say, and not only that, you have a really cute face. I said, if you have a lemonade stand and I don't even need lemonade. I'm going to buy some because you're so cute. So you have so much going for you. And then I talked to them about three young entrepreneurs. One is 6, one is 15, and one is now 14, who all they did was figure out a cool thing that they were really good at doing. And then they started doing that for people. And you never say, I can't afford that. You say, what can I do to earn enough money to afford it? We live in an amazing country where nobody says, I'm sorry, Dr. Robin, you've already earned all the money you can earn today. You're done. You can't earn anymore. The sky is the limit. And all it takes is a little bit of work and some creativity. But kids, you know, kids know it's amazing when they find out, wow, I can do this. If other kids have done this, I can do this.
Yeah,
so.
I love that. It's really important. And like, we've talked to my own kids about it, and they've made chocolate dipped cookies and chocolate dipped pretzels and all those kinds of things for people's birthday parties, for Valentine's Day. And they make money doing those kinds of things. And then they are able to put it away in a way that allows them to have some money to spend and money to save and some big things that they're saving for. My kids are now a little bit older, so my daughter has got her eye on, well, I've got to put away money for a car. I've got to put away money for gas to drive a car because she just got her permit. So she's been putting money away for that. But before that, it was, you know, a cool pair of boots that she wanted, or, you know, something maybe even more simple back in the day. You know, my son loves gaming, like, you know, many of the young boys, they have, a lot of kids love gaming, and he loves doing that with his friends. So he's got his eye on different things as well and needs to be putting money away. So how can you earn it? I really like that. And it's the kind of thing that I say as well. You also talk about saving money and saving it.
Yeah. Before we get off earning, you know, we're kind of conditioned to say, I'm giving you allowance.
Yes.
We don't like to call it allowance because you're allowed to just have this money and do nothing. I mean, our world is like, the harder you work and the more services you provide, the more value you create, and money chases value. So it's work. And so, you know, we say we don't say allowance. We say commission.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a different word, and that's really important.
Right.
Now,
I agree with that.
Now, when it comes to savings kind of has, for some people, a negative connotation. Oh, I have to save. I have to save. You get to pay yourself first. When you tell a kid what they have to do, they use 1/8 of their brain. When you tell them what they get to do, 7/8 of their brain lights up. So you
Love.
Get to, for every month, every bit of money you earn or receive, you get to pay yourself first. And, you know, I tell kids the story that things happen in the world that you just don't ever plan on. I have a little neighbor boy. He accidentally broke a window in my house. And I love this kid, and I didn't want him to get in trouble. And I said, don't worry, I'll just pay for it. And so the window guy came out, and he wanted $700 to fix the window. So I called my insurance company, and they want $2,000 more a year premium if I make a claim. So I need to pay that $700. I have to use my savings, because it's just, we paid ourselves first to protect ourselves. So if something happens that we really need to lie, you know, that's a safety thing. And then we always say, use a clear jar, because if
Yes.
you put them inside a dark pig, you can't see it grow. So
yes.
Using a clear jar is a great way to watch money grow. Yeah.
You can't see it grow, and you can't see it shrink.
That's
so
true. That is
these
very
are,
true.
These are important concepts. Now, spending money is often the fun part for kids, although I actually really loved saving money myself. I loved having it grow. How can we help kids to decide what's important enough to spend on? Because once you spend the money's no longer in the jar.
See, and that's something that is so important to teach kids. Some people save and save and save and save and save, and then they grow old, and then their kids fly first class, and they don't ever enjoy, you know, when you work hard, you need to be able to enjoy your money in a balanced way. So we want to teach kids about that. But, you know, kids don't really grasp the concept of, I want it now. I want it now. So we talk about doing the smart thing. If you don't, you know, you want something, but if you spend your money right now, you can't buy something later. Sometimes we have to give them a little experience with that. One of the cool ways to teach kids is, if they want something and they don't have enough money, you say to your child, you can go try to pay for that, but there's probably a good chance that you won't have enough money to pay for that. And then come back here and we'll talk about it. Because if you just say, oh no, you don't have enough for that, that's you telling them. And now you don't want to humiliate them or anything. And you don't want to stand there, because if your kid does that, they'll look at you like, okay, chip in. This is a learning opportunity where they go and try to pay for something. And you say, I'm right here for you. If you don't have enough money, you come back and we will talk about how you can earn more money so that you can get that. And but the
Right.
smart thing is, let's go home and think about it overnight. It's not going anywhere, and we can go online if we have to. But let's really think about it if that's how you want to spend your money, because this impulse buying is just killing our people, economy,
It's
everything.
true, yes. My mom always used to tell me, she would say, if you love it, buy it, if you love it. So I still have that in my head when I'm looking at something. Do I love it? And so now I have this where, like, I see something, if I really think, ooh, I love that, even if I'm like a little on the fence, I might leave the store and come back and visit it a couple of times, you know, if it's like close by. And if I'm still thinking about it like a week later, I know I really want that, you know. And so
that
that's
delayed gratification,
that
though, is
delayed
a
gratification.
huge,
Yeah.
huge skill for kids, you know?
Yeah.
So,
not easy, not easy,
no.
But really important. And we want to help kids to learn how to do this when they're young. And and we have a chance for them to use money on things that maybe don't matter quite as much. When they're older and they're paying rent and they need to save money for food and they need to pay different bills, those stakes are high. So we want to teach kids when the stakes are low to make the mistakes, to try to save, to spend on the wrong thing. And then when they're older and they have a chance to spend it on the right things, they'll make the right choices.
Kids are going to learn about money one way or another.
Yes.
And we develop human habits most effectively ages 6 to 10. So the minute your kid can start counting is the minute you start to infuse these concepts. And you're exactly right, because, you know, sometimes the rule of hard knocks is not great. But if we can be responsible about giving the kids the tools they need to be responsible with money, we do a great job. And then we never, ever want to tell them we don't know everything. And you always want to keep learning and learning about money, because everybody, money changes, and the ways we spend it change, and opportunities for money change. So nobody knows everything.
No, they don't. Not even the experts.
Mm-hmm.
And now finally, you talk about giving, and it's important that kids feel invested, pardon the pun, on giving to others. I have a Powerful Words program, which is, it's an international character education program that's used in schools and after school programs. And I introduce the concept of giving of your treasures, like your money or other things that you treasure in your house that are worth something, your talents and your time during the month when the powerful word is charity. So how can kids explore different ways to help charities and those in need and be interested and invested in the way that they're spending or giving their money?
A kid, in order to learn something, they have to see it, they have to hear it, they have to feel it, they have to do it, and they have to be able to teach somebody else. So until a child actually feels what it feels like on the inside to give something, to give up something that they care about so that other people can benefit, that giving feeling, it's not authentic. But once they catch, I mean, it's just like when you give gifts to your children, you are so excited to see how they're going to react. I don't know when that switches, but when we were little, it's what we're going to get, you know? I have 5-year-old grandson, and one of the things at the holiday time I wanted him to do was to take his money and spend it on a toy for another kid, and then take that toy to the shelter so another boy could have a toy, you know. And that was he goes, well, just use your money. And I said, no, because if I use my money, I'm the one that's going to feel good. I want you to feel how amazing it is. And it was hard prying open that little kid's wallet, but he did it. And I let him pay for it. I let him pick it out. And I was like standing by the cash register. He did the whole thing. Then the guy at the homeless shelter was amazing with him, because we walked in and I said, this young man used his own money to buy a toy for another kid that might not have so many things. And he said, wow, I can only imagine how amazing you must be feeling. That is, you know, and all of a sudden he just like, whoa, yeah,
Oh,
I feel
yeah,
great.
that's a big chest that comes up there. It's
And
shoulder to back.
He got a taste of doing great things for people. And, you know, they feel good. You feel amazing. And kids are going to do what makes them feel good. And if you model that by doing it yourself and then just say, oh, I just feel so good. And, you know, you're your child's best teacher. So they watch you. If you impulse buy, they're going to impulse buy. If you find kind ways to do nice things for people, they are going to do the same thing. Kind parents end up having kind children. Unkind parents have unkind children. So, you know, but they have to feel it. And if you give them the money to pay for something, it's not the same thing. They have to sacrifice.
Right.
And then get rewarded.
Yeah, we often had, when my kids would have birthday parties, I'd have them, instead of getting gifts, in lieu of gifts, they would give to charity. So people would come and they would bring, if they were collecting for a dog shelter, they would bring leashes and food and beds and all of that. And they would be just surrounded by all this stuff. And then I would have my kids go to the dog shelter, you know, with me. Obviously, I'm driving. We would usually, all of us would go. And they would drop off the stuff because I wanted them to see the
faces. You took it in and said, my kid did this. But if
no,
they
it's not this, it's not the same. I wanted them to look into the faces of the people who were collecting it. I wanted them to visit with the dogs. So we would do that. They collected for a kid who lost everything in a fire in, you know, in the town. My son had collected all these teddy bears for, it was a place called CASA that it gives a teddy bear to every child who has been, they've been extracted from their home due to neglect or abuse, and they're always given a bear. And I just wanted him to just keep remembering. So every time I would make sure that they would have an interaction with the person who was collecting the stuff, so they can hear, where is it going? What's happening with this stuff? If it's money, you want them to be able to have a connection with the end user, or at least the people who are going to be disseminating the money, because otherwise it feels too removed and they don't get that full euphoric feeling like I'm doing something really important.
You know,
here.
We teach our kids baseball and then the reward is when they get a hit and everybody cheers them on. We teach our kids music and the reward is when they do a recital and they perform. If we teach our kids giving, and then we allow them to experience the greatness they feel. Boy, you're walking to the car with your boy and you say, well, I bet you're standing a little bit taller now, aren't you? I can only imagine how good you must be feeling. You know, that is extremely powerful. So your kids, Dr. Robin, will always want that to be a part of their lives because they know how great it feels and it's genuine.
Yes, and you can also ask them, when somebody receives this sweater that you decided that you no longer want but is in great shape, or when somebody opens this new baseball bat that you contributed because you were giving sports equipment to those who were less fortunate, what do you think their face is going to look like? What do you think they'll say out loud?
Draw me a picture of what you think their face will look like. You know, put it on a, you know. And even another thing too, one that's really powerful. He's only 5, so I couldn't do this. But, you know, if you're giving to a shelter, have the kid write a letter to the kids and say, I just want you to be happy and I want to give this to you, love, blank. You know, so that they have some kind of a connection. Because sometimes they don't want the kids to know who gets it. But that way your child, you know, can have some kind of a, the more, it's just like you want your kid to be organized at school, so you need to buy them all the folders and stuff to stay organized. You take them to the store and let them pick out their folders and let them, the more they're a part of the process, the more they're going to endure the process to receive their product. But they have to do it. They have to, in order to learn it. And
I love that. It's really important to keep them involved. Now, I know that at the end of the book, you provide a whole list of money tips, including, you know, don't spend money that you don't have and, you know, invest money so that it works for you. These concepts can be tough for kids to understand because they're more elusive. So with all of those tips at the end of the book, how are you hoping parents might teach some of these concepts to their kids?
Relate them to real stories that happened to you. When I was 7 years old, and I tell kids this in the Money Talk, when I was 7 years old, my mom came home with a big happy face because she bought a pair of purple boots, rubber boots. They were so ugly. Rubber purple boots for $1. And, you know, she just thought it was such a great deal. And they didn't even fit anyone in our family because they were too small. Now, most people buy one pair of boots or maybe two. My mama came home with 17 pair of purple boots because she just thought they were a great deal. And when I cleaned her house out, when we had to move her to a senior room, senior center, I found 5 pair of those ugly pair of boots that she never got rid of. Don't buy things that you can't use because there's no purpose in that. When you take a real story that they can relate to, then they create feelings about what you say and it makes sense. That's why I try to write books that, you know, the book is a vehicle to get the good stuff in their head. And they're always first person and they're always, you know, I'm money, I don't grow on trees. It's money talking about himself. Mm-hmm. So the kids relate to money and feel the emotion and they see it and they do it and they are money when they're reading the book.
It's really important to tell stories. It's part of when I'm presenting too, encouraging parents to tell stories, famous stories. And I, you know, use those in my book as well as their personal stories that really can help hit the point home. So I love that you are connecting these tips to stories. Stories can help kids learn so much better than just womp, womp, womp. Here's what you need to know.
Your kids can earn around the house. They can be the light sheriff when they're little. They can be, you know, do all the garbage cans.
Yes.
You use their job to earn, to add to the betterment of your family.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes a little bit of creativity. And I don't know. It's just, and then it doesn't hurt. Even what they don't get is the paying of the phone, how it works. So you actually can show your children a check register with how much money's in there. And then when you, and you know, write it in and have them do the math. Okay, I spent this, this, and this. Now how much is in my account? So they actually see it going down and you can show them the bank statement online and you can see, oh, it took it out, didn't it? Because it's that unknown of, wow, it's just magical. Show me the facts. They have to see a concrete visualization of what you're trying to teach them so they can relate that to what they already know.
Absolutely.
And it's an everyday, every opportunity thing that's amazing.
Yeah. So give us your top tip. What would you want people to walk away with after reading this book to their kids or their kids reading this book to themselves?
Especially with the influence of social media, our kids are walking around like these spheres with a hollow inside. And then they take a hit from somebody and they crumble. Our goal is to raise kids that are the solid sphere. And think of a boiled egg versus a runny egg, okay, versus an uncooked egg. And, you know, a boiled egg is much more durable. They take a hit and it bounces off. Your value in life has absolutely nothing to do with what you can purchase, okay? Value is not the same thing as materialistic things. And that is the biggest thing that, you know, what you can buy has nothing to do with who you are or your value or how, just because you have a nice house and a great car, and that doesn't make you a great person.
No, and so it doesn't make you happy necessarily.
And it really doesn't, because you can ask these very, very wealthy people, you know, the Chanel said, the most valuable things in life are free.
Yes.
And the second most valuable things in life cost a lot. That's one of my favorite quotes. You know,
That
she
is really funny.
yeah
Yes.
yeah
Give us,
so
sorry, give us the resource of the week. Where can we go to get more information about you and your book and purchase your book?
I have about 86 titles, and they all talk about a topic, and they talk in first person, and they help y they're research-based, so they model what the parent and teacher should say and do. All of my books are available at juliacookonline.com. And they, you know, this is Financial Literacy Month, so this is kind of a great delve into this book right here.
It's
Our
perfect.
kids do
Yes.
not come with instructions. You have, as a parent, the most difficult job on the planet. And there's no right or wrong way. There may be a better and a not so great way, but we are all learning. And you know, you've never been the parent of an 11-year-old before. And so if a child asks you a question about something and you don't have those words, you look at your kid and say, "Wow, I have absolutely no idea how to answer that question right now, but I'll figure it out and we'll revisit it." Because if you can establish trust and communication with your child, and they can establish trust and communication with you, you may not like them all the time, and they certainly will not like you all the time. This is parents speaking, grandparents speaking, whatever, but you will always have a valid relationship with your kids because trust and communication are the two important things.
Yes, it helps with connection, and you
It
want your
is.
kid to feel connected to you. You want to feel connected to your kid, and you always want your kid to be able to think, I'm going to go ask my parent about this, and I
And they
know
would.
that even if she or he doesn't have the answer, we can figure it out together.
Right. What if your 6-year-old says, "Well, there'll be a shooter in my school today." Now you want to just say, "Oh my goodness, don't worry about that. No, that will never happen." But in our world, you can't say that because if something happened, you would shatter their trust. So you say, "Oh, my gosh, I don't have the words right now to answer that, but I'm going to figure it out, and you and I will talk about that when in a little bit." And then you sit your child down, and after you do some research, you might find out that, you know, no one really knows the answer to that, but we're doing everything we can in our place, in our town, to make sure that'll never happen. And together we are strong. So you give them a positive answer that is truthful, but you don't have to know all the words all the time. You
Right.
don't.
Right.
But
Well, I
you know,
try to make sure people feel like, I don't know, that's why one of the reasons why I wrote my book is like, keep it where you can find it. And you can say to your child, I need a couple of minutes and then go and open my book and like, you know, like, let me see what it says
yeah, I
here.
don't have the words right now, or let's talk about this in about 10 or 15 minutes
Yeah.
when I can talk to you better about it. Or there's pieces of this mess in every room. Let me figure out what's really going on and we'll talk about it. You know, have that
Right.
canned response in the back of your pocket, and then read Dr. Robin's book. There's got to be it in there. Oh, by the way, you know, I when I read your book, I was like, "Oh my gosh, that's it. That's it. That's it."
Thank
You
you.
know,
That
so
means a lot to me. Thank
wish you and I
you.
had that when I was a parent, and
I appreciate that.
purchasing that for my kids now. So,
Well, thank you for that. And
yeah.
it's good. I mean, for parents to have an avenue, whether they're reading my book, an adult book for them, or they're reading they're taking your children's books and reading it directly to their kids, they're just jumping off points. They allow the parent to be thinking about, here's how I can answer this question. Here's some words that I can use, whether it's your words, my words, or their words that come from an amalgamation of mine, yours, you know, what they learn, what they know. And then we just keep talking. And really, that's the important thing. We must keep talking to our kids. Our kids are listening, even when we think that they're not. And they do get a translation of our values. So let's
And we
keep
can learn.
talking.
I mean, we can teach our kids based on mistakes. You know, some parents don't talk to their kids about money because they're terrible with it, but you can teach your child kind of what not to do,
That's right.
better than someone who has always been amazing with money. And you know, and so it's just so important that you have a communication venue some way. And this book, like, yeah, like you said, you jump off of it. You know, it's
Yes.
just it's a discussion starter for so many
Yes.
topics.
I think that is a perfect way. And I just want to thank you for being on the show
you.
Today and being with us and talking to us about this topic. And I'm sure that some people are learning about the fact that you have so many books, and we'll be looking those up. So thank you for giving us your website, and we will be looking more into you. So thank you again for being on the show.
Well, thank you. In order to teach kids, you have to enter their view of the world. So
that's right. That's right.
Thank you very much for having me, Dr. Robin.
It's my pleasure. Well, I've got my takeaways, and sweet friends, I know you have yours. So let's discuss them. You can go up to the Facebook page, so Dr. Robin Silverman, or we can chat about it through Twitter, which is now X, or through Instagram, which is still Instagram. I actually switched over to a new handle because my Instagram was acting so strange. So you can look at both. They're both there, either under Dr. Robin Silverman or Dr. with a dot after it, Dr. Dot Robin Silverman, which I'm now growing. And you can take a look at that. I'm going to be going back and forth with Julia. We'll be on TikTok. We're going to be all over the place. So interact with us so that we can talk to you. We want to hear your questions. We want to hear your perspective. And we'll talk about it. And if you love this podcast like I did, I'll hope you go to iTunes and rate and review it and let people know about what you loved about it, because then other people will learn about Julia Cook and her book, and that we can all use them in our own homes. I truly appreciate it. That's all the time we have for today, my fellow parents, leaders, and educators. Thank you so much for tuning in to How to Talk to Kids About Anything. For more information on books, articles, speaking engagements, or curriculum, I'm building a lot of speaking right now. Please visit drrobinsilverman.com. So many great podcasts up there. And the show notes to this podcast will be up there as well. I look forward to weathering the storms and enjoying the sunny side of life together. And please remember, even on the days when you fall short, you've got this. You're here. You're getting the information you need. I know it's not easy, but never forget there's always a tomorrow. Parenting typically provides the ultimate do-over. So if you heard something today and you thought, I haven't talked about money yet, or my kid asked me about money and I shut him down, or he said this and he said that and I should have told him this story, don't do that to yourself. There's always a time to return to the conversation. You can do it now. I see you and I'm right there with you. And as there are moments when we doubt our know-how, our choices, and our sweet sanity, please know you are 10 times the parent you think you are. Until next time, this is Dr. Robin Silverman with How to Talk to Kids About Anything. Please tune in again and keep connecting through conversation. See you next week.
You've been listening to How to Talk to Kids About Anything with Dr. Robin Silverman. For more information on books, articles, speaking engagements, or curriculum, please visit drrobinsilverman.com.